All right. It is my treat and honor to introduce a special guest this morning. You guys have seen us do this once or twice before, but I want to ask you to welcome Nathan Montgomery, the director of Salt and Light, to come be with us today. What's up, buddy?
How we doing?
Great. We're only 4 minutes late at this point. You guys have no idea the danger you are in right now. Nathan and I are both extremely gifted at talking for a long time. We're going to do good, though.
Yes.
I got to know Nathan the first time about a year ago, maybe. I played golf. Some anonymous person sponsored a bunch of us ministry folks to go play in the FCA tournament. And whoever that was, thank you. That was really cool. You actually sank a putt, I think.
As many times as I hit the ball, you're bound to hit one in the hole.
That's true.
Eventually.
That's true. All right. For the last 5 or 6 weeks, we've been going through a passage in the Bible, actually looking at it in a couple of different books, but it's the story about the greatest commandment. And I'm going to read it from Mark today. This is Mark 12, 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and all your understanding and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So, Nathan, we've been approaching this from a bunch of different perspectives and kind of each week looking at it a little differently. I think that sometimes when we hear this idea of love your neighbor, our minds just instantly go to this idea of doing good deeds for the poor. And that's definitely a part of it. But I know that for you, loving your neighbor goes hand in hand with sharing your faith. And you told me about something that really gave you just a passion for sharing your faith, and I wonder if you'd share that story with us.
Yeah, certainly. Actually, it's really a story about a friend of mine who I met my freshman year in high school, George Dobbins. And we didn't have a lot in common except our love for basketball. And so over the next 4 years and beyond, we played basketball all the time, everywhere, all over town together. And the thing about George, neither one of us went to church at the time, but George really wanted nothing to do with church, whereas I was maybe a little more open at that point, but he wanted nothing to do with church. And so, you know, we continued to play basketball together, never having really any deep conversations. Usually it had to do with a game we had played or were going to play, or a game we had watched or were going to watch. It was usually what it revolved around. And it was after high school when actually my wife and I, at the age of 22, came to the Lord and got saved. And George and I were still friends at that point and would still get together and play basketball in different tournaments. And I never really brought up God much because I knew George didn't want anything to do with it. He actually would get picked up. He was about 6'8", and a pretty good ball player. And so he got picked up on different teams all over town and would play in church leagues. And his only requirement was that he didn't have to go to church for him to play, because he had grown up actually in going to Catholic school and then the Catholic church. And I don't know, we never really talked about exactly what his experience was that kind of got him to where he was at, but he really wanted nothing to do with it, so I never brought it up. And I think, like a lot of us, we often believe that, well, there'll be a time, there'll be an opportunity, you know, that will present itself, that, I don't want to push him away, or I don't want to make him angry, or I don't know what to say. And being a young Christian, and especially knowing how George felt, a lot of those excuses ran through my mind as far as why not to open my mouth and share what God had done for me with him. And it was actually about a month and a half before his 26th birthday, he was standing outside of a bar in line waiting to go in and hear a band and collapsed and died. And he actually had a birth defect that no one knew about, including him. And one of his ventricles was small, and it caught up with him. And, you know, for me, being a new Christian, a young Christian, you know, I struggled with that a lot. And the fact that I never opened my mouth, you know, for a whole host of excuses. And it was at that point that God really began to move in me and my life and on me and really convicting me to the urgency that is required by all of us. And when it comes to sharing our faith, that we never know how much time we have. And I think especially when we're younger, we think we have all of eternity. You know, we're invincible. And, you know, here's George, played basketball at Parkland, you know, model of health, and it was gone in an instant. And so for me, that was really a turning point as far as just the desire, the strong desire to share my faith. And it was actually about almost exactly 1 year after that I went full-time into ministry.
Yeah, and I love that story, and I love that idea of connecting love for your neighbor with this holistic approach that I know we're gonna come back to in a minute. But you can't love your neighbor in just a part of their life. You love the whole person, and that includes the soul. So, yeah. What were you doing before you started Salt and Light?
A number of things, but I know the one that the Extreme Process focused on was I was actually a quality engineer doing statistical problem solving for a foundry here in town. We were actually a supplier to General Motors, so a fair amount of travel and that sort of thing.
You lost me. you know what, we talked about that a little bit, and I know, so going from this engineer career to ministry, probably a pretty big shift.
Yeah, to say the least. You know, it was one of those things that this idea of, you know, climbing the corporate ladder, and that was where I was at, and wanting to just, you know, do more and do better for myself and my family and make more money and those sorts of things that the world tells you are important. And knowing that, you know, you went to work and you worked your hours and you would get paid at the end of the week, that was a little bit of a shift into ministry where, you know, you're totally relying on God completely. And it really has, you know, grown my wife and I and our faith in God, and just seeing how, you know, he can move through other people and through what you're doing.
Were you scared? I mean, giving up security and, you know, all the potential of a future and raises and all that? And
you know, my wife and I, when we because we didn't really seek this out, it just kind of started happening as we really found ourselves pursuing God's will. And it was one of those things where, you know, we prayed about it a lot before we agreed to kind of go into this. And I think at times it would frustrate my wife that I wasn't a little more scared. you know, by nature, I don't tend to worry maybe even when I should. And so, you know, it definitely, but there are times, you know, where that stress can build, and that's when you get frustrated with yourself. You know, in ministry, I think that you know, people have a perception of maybe those people that are in ministry and what they're like, and really that, you know, they're no different. And we have our own struggles, our own concerns, and you really can get frustrated with yourself when you find that you don't have maybe the faith that you think you should, especially when you've seen God respond. But over the years, definitely have grown and just learned to really lean on God.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me before, we chase all these things, and we try to surround ourselves with all these things to make us comfortable and to give us joy and peace. But you said for you, that joy and peace came from being in the middle of God's will.
You know, and I think that's what a lot of people miss out on. And sometimes we don't really get. And it wasn't until my wife, both her and I, were really ready and willing to just accept whatever God wanted for our lives that then we found it. You know, it was actually one of those things. I was kind of feeling led into overseas missions a year and a half or so earlier, and we talked about it, and she was not. So it was kind of shelved, and it was that time later that she came back and just said, you know, I'm ready. If you still feel like God is leading you to pursue, you know, whatever it is, I'm ready to follow. And it's when we both were at that point where we were really willing to turn it over to him that then we found it. And it is, it's just that there is a peace that comes with knowing you are doing and you're where God wants you to be. Yeah. It really kind of can take away those concerns, those worries, that stress.
Yeah. So jumping back to this passage, and Jesus says, well, this, he quotes this passage from the Old Testament. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heart is your emotions. Your soul is kind of your consciousness, and then your mind, obviously, it's your thought processes and your decisions, and then your strength, it's your energy and your effort and all the things that you do. And you know, we took a couple of those piece by piece. You know, 1 week we looked at heart, but really, it paints this picture of loving God with everything. You're not supposed to separate it. It doesn't mean love God with this for a little while and then this for a little. It's love God with everything you've got. And as you do that, as we learn to love God, it's this whole life love of God. And and I know when we try to do that, we kind of come face to face with this tension. You said this to me the last time we were together. It's easy to say, God, whatever you want from me. It's easy to say it, but to actually mean it is a whole different game. It's one thing to say, yeah, God, whatever. My life is yours. My future, my house, my car, my kids, my life is yours. But meaning it is risky.
It is, and that's the thing. You never know where you might end up.
yeah.
Case in point. You know, it is. It's one of those things that I think that often, even when we think, you know, we are ready to surrender it all, we still kind of put it in a box that, okay, I'm ready, you know, if it looks like this or if it looks like that. And this is kind of what I had in mind, God. You know, why don't you come along onto my plan, you know, and this is how I'll turn it all over to you. You know, but to really get to the point where you're truly ready and willing to surrender it all, that you really want his will no matter what it is, even if it's the thing that you want least, you know, and it's difficult, and I don't believe it's just the flip of a switch. You know, I believe it's a process. You know, and quite frankly, often, you know, we're very quick to trust God with the things that we feel like we can't control, our health and family things and those sorts of things. But usually our material needs are the last thing. I know, especially as a guy, as a husband, as a father, you know, you feel this necessity to take care and provide for your family. And so that's something you take ownership of, and turning that over to God is very difficult, a very difficult thing to do, and it's still something I'm working on.
Tell us quickly a couple of stories about ways where you had to just rely on faith just on a daily basis at Salt and Light.
Yeah, you know, it's over the last 6.5 years, it has been a journey, to say the least, and it's been awesome, just an awesome privilege to see God move so tangibly every day. You know, what an opportunity that is to truly just see him move. And we've had lots of different circumstances in the past where times have been tough. You know, things are tight and you're struggling. And we actually, it's funny, most people don't realize, but during the extreme makeover process, and actually, you know, while we were in the process and no one else knew it, things were pretty tough during that time. We actually, it was the worst things that ever gotten. And we were actually, I was five paychecks behind, so hadn't been paid for 2.5 months. And it was pretty tough, pretty tight at Salt and Light and at home. And in the process, they really want to vet out and make sure that, you know, that you're not going to lose the home if they build it for you. And so there's this whole process in dealing with the mortgage company. And we were trying to get something in writing from them that would say this. And it was 2 weeks, hours every day, talking with them. We actually signed paperwork for the ABC casting representative to talk with them, going back and forth. And they would tell us over the phone, but they wouldn't put anything in writing. And it was so frustrating. And it was actually at the end of this 2 weeks, our casting representative said, you know, we've got to get this resolved or we're going to have to move on. And I didn't realize at the time, but our whole process was being expedited to find a family that really fit that national week of service. And so that was the rush. And I was like, okay, I mean, I didn't know what to do about it. It wasn't as though we'd just been sitting there enjoying the lack of income. And so it's like, okay, well, all right, we'll see what we can do. And actually what happened was our chairman of the board, one of his employees, actually, her mother-in-law was an editor for the News Gazette, Becky Mabry, who passed away here this last Christmas time. And she wrote a story on me and the ministry that came out of Father's Day. And as a result of that, we actually received an anonymous donation of $50,000 that brought everything current, brought me current, made the mortgage thing a non-issue. And it was about 4 weeks later that they knocked on our door. So, you know, just a total God thing, you know, all the way throughout that. And there have been other circumstances where, you know, you're not quite sure how you're going to make it through, how you're going to keep the power on, or how you're going to meet the needs of all of these people that are coming in that obviously with just a few staff we have, we can't. But then, you know, God shows up through other people. So it's been pretty awesome just to see that.
Yeah. I have a good friend who is a missionary in India, and she tells a lot of stories like that, stories where if God doesn't come through, the doors close. She runs an orphanage in India, And she'll tell stories about 5 p.m., has to pay this bill, and doesn't have the money. And she is walking to the place to tell him, I don't have the money, and happens to stop at her mailbox and check, and there's a check from an anonymous person in the States with the exact dollar amount that she needs. Just these amazing stories. And I don't have stories like that. And sometimes I think about that, and I think, you know, if I'm honest with myself, I don't put myself in a place where I have to rely on God. I instead tend to want to control my circumstances. I want to make myself comfortable. I don't want to risk it. I want to take it. And you know what I'm doing when I do that? I'm playing God for myself. And as I've been, you know, as we've been talking and thinking about this the last week or two, you know, I sometimes wonder if there's a degree to which we experience the rich blessing of God to a degree that's you know, that matches the degree to which we give ourselves to God first. And if we don't need God, God won't show up.
Well, I've tried having that conversation with him and tried convincing him that I will continue to need him even if I don't find myself in that situation. I think that, you know, it is the state of which we live, and it's, you know, it is. It's tough. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't prefer not to have some of those stories, that we never found ourselves in that situation. But it is. It's an awesome opportunity just to see God move.
Yeah. All right. Tell me, what's the mission of Salt and Light?
The mission of Salt and Light is actually to share the love of God first. We do that through the services we provide. So it's to share the love of God by meeting the needs of these people who are at or below the poverty line, our neighbors in Champaign County. And that's something we continually remind ourselves and our volunteers of, that our mission is not to feed and clothe people. Our mission is to share God's love through those things.
Awesome. So for you, just say a little bit. I'll give you some time to answer this one. What's the relationship between loving God and loving neighbor?
For me, really, they're one and the same. Based on what I've read in Scripture, loving your neighbor is loving God. That is how we tangibly do that right where we're at, whether it be with our neighbor or someone across town or across the world, like in Malawi. You know, that is the heartbeat of God. That's where he's at, is when we're doing that, when we're actively living out our faith, being the hands and feet, being the salt and the light. You know, that's where it's at. You know, and that's why Salt and Light is structured the way it is, and we're focused on really what we feel like is the biblical model and what Christ did. You know, he met people where they were at. He met them where they were at, met their need, and then that provided him the opportunity and the responsibility that we have to share our faith. You don't divorce the two, but they're really one and the same.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me previously that in your life, these experiences of loving your neighbor, these experiences of seeing the face of Jesus in the least of these experiences of seeing God move as you were putting yourself out there, that those actually had the effect of really setting your heart on fire for God.
Oh, very much so. You know, and I don't know if it's having children. I mean, to some degree, I've always been this way, and my wife makes fun of me because I'm a big sap. A Hallmark commercial can get me teary-eyed. And so usually, you know, we watch her movies and she's laughing at me because I'm a little more emotional. But these circumstances, you know, these interactions that I've had with certain people that we serve over time, it just continues to reinforce, you know, what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. I remember there was a time, not this last winter, but the winter before, usually when I'm out, I don't approach someone that is a client. I leave that up to them just because you never know how they might respond. There might be some pride or different issues in there, and so I usually allow them to make the first comment. And so I walked in, and there was a lady actually behind the deli at the store who I recognized was a client. And I went up, and she actually came over right away and said, "Hey, you're that Salt and Light guy, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm actually thinking of putting that on my business card, Salt and Light guy. I said, "Yeah, that's me." And she said, "Well, I just want to let you know that my three kids and I, we've been in each week over the last 3 weeks, and we're able to find a coat for each child, each one of those weeks. And if it weren't for you guys at Salt and Light, they wouldn't have had coats this winter." You know, and so, you know, I grabbed my turkey and kind of wiped my eye, and, you know, but there's been lots of different things like that over the time where people, you know, just share just a little bit, you know, and I liken it to, at least in particular, my golf game, where a day of all these bad shots, you hit one good shot, one putt, you know, in, and it makes up for a day of, of bad ones, you know? And that's the thing, this sort of ministry, I think that often people have a perspective of how it's going to be received. And it's not that everybody is always just oh so thankful and oh so grateful, and at times that can be tough, you know, but you just see the face of God for one brief glimpse in those people, and it does, and it just kind of fires you back up to go out and do it again, and it's just awesome.
All right, Nathan, you got a captive audience. We as a church have for a long time, for a while, been supporting Salt and Light. But what would you say to group of people here, how can we join you in your mission to love our neighbor?
Well, really, there's lots of different ways. You know, and for me, a part of what we see as our ministry is not just to the people that we're serving in Salt and Light, but the people we get the opportunity to serve alongside. Because what Salt and Light provides is an opportunity to put that action to your faith, and that changes a person. It does. I've seen it happen time and time again. And so, you know, obviously, time is a big resource that people can provide in coming out and partnering with us. We have a service every Wednesday before we open up for food, where there's opportunity to just talk with people, pray with people afterwards, be available to people, and then get involved in that service. And I know I've talked to some different members of the church that are going to do that. We've had lay pastors coming out and speaking the first Wednesday of every month from the church, so we've gotten some of that, but I encourage more to do that, and to help with the food distribution. Come out and actually, you know, push some carts out, help some people out with food, you know, because that is an experience in and of itself, interacting with people you might not otherwise get the opportunity to interact with in your daily walk, and then it provides you the opportunity to sometimes open your mouth and share your faith, you know, but the first step is just being obedient to whatever it is God is leading you to do. And so there's different volunteer opportunities all the time. We have some different things that we're working on coming up, different events that we have, whether it be our gift giveaway, Christmas time, the Family Resource Day that I know the church has partnered in over the years in August. We're looking at doing some more relational things, doing a cookout with our clients and volunteers this summer. Different ways to just really connect with people. And obviously, the ongoing support is huge, you know, for us. We actually have some newsletters over there that there's actually a typo, but it says that $25 a month can feed a family for a week.